any of these groups in here. Pleasantly warm. Guys, I'm gonna get try this one. Because it's not as often read as other sections. Generally, we might turn to the ninth canto, where the summary of Lord Ramchandra's pastimes is given by Sukadeva Goswami. And since that's what we usually do, I'm going to do something else. The fifth canto includes an extensive description of the structure of the universe in which we live, with its 14 planetary systems extending from Brahmaloka down to the Patal and the still lower destinations. In the middle, we have Jambudvip. Which is divided into different varshas. Varshas are islands, concentric islands in this case. There's an island, and there's an ocean, and then there's an island, and nothing like Mauritius. You don't have that. But that's how we read the description in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are Ilavrita Varsha, Park Varsha, this earth planet, and one such island, or one such, yes, one such place is called Kimpurusha Varsha. Kimpurusha Varsha. And we'll hear Sukadeva Goswami's description. My dear king, in Kimpurusha Varsha, the great devotee Hanuman is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ramchandra, the elder brother of Lakshman and dear husband of Sita Devi. A host of Gandharvas is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramchandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and Arshtishen, the chief person in Kimpurusha Varsha, constantly hear those glories with complete attention. Hanuman chants the following mantras. Now, yes, when we speak of Lord Ramchandra, Hanuman must always be there. Lord Ramchandra comes to defeat demons like Ravana, Prajanaya Sadhanam Tinashaya Jadushkrita. But more importantly, he comes for the benefit of the devotees, to glorify his devotees. Vinashaya Jadushkritam, destroying the demons. He can do, throw a tornado their way, drop a mountain on them. Natural disturbances are sufficient to deal with these demons. The Lord doesn't personally need to kill them. But he comes more to glorify his devotees. He comes more to glorify Prahlad Maharaj than to kill Hiranyakashipu. So in this chapter we find the prayers of glorification offered by Hanuman. Sometimes in the Hindu community, Hanuman is separately worshipped as a god because of a poor fund of knowledge. A poor fund of knowledge. There's so many gods, and there's Durga's a god, and Vishnu's a god, and Shiva's a god, and Hanumanji's a god, and Durga Devi is a god, goddess. And there's so many. And take your pick, whichever one you like, or whichever one you think is going to give you the best deal. Worship that one. Or cover all your bases and worship all of them. So that's not accepted in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's rejected as being quite a dharma, cheating religion. Krishna Stu Bhagavan, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. He has so many other incarnations as Vishnu Tattva. Vishnu Tattva means the personality of Godhead. In the Brahma Sangita, we find Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyame Natishna Nam Avataram Akurala Bhuvaneshut Kintu. The Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, is Advaita. He's one. Advaita and Achyuta in Babylon. Advaita, Achyuta, Anadi. He's one without us. He has no beginning. And Anantarupam, still he has so many different forms. He's one, Advaita, one without a second. But he's many also, in expanding himself as the Vishnu Tattva. Vishnu Tattva means he's the same Krishna, playing different roles. Sometimes he's king, sometimes he's a tortoise, sometimes he's half lion, half man, sometimes he's a fish, sometimes he's a sage. He takes these different roles as an actor might take different roles on the stage. So the Vishnu is there. Krishna Swayam Samabhava. The original personality of Godhead is Krishna, and he expands in all of these Vishnu Tattva forms. So here, and when he expands, he performs his pastimes with his various energies. Sita Devi is the internal energy of the Lord, and then the living entities are there who are serving the Lord, the devotees, serving the Lord as devotees. So here we're going to read Hanuman's prayers, by which both Lord Ramachandra and Hanuman himself are glorified. When we glorify Krishna, then Krishna is glorified and we ourselves are glorified. Not that our goal is to glorify ourselves, our goal is to glorify Krishna. But when the devotee glorifies Krishna, the devotee becomes glorious also. When we ignore Krishna, or worse, disparage Krishna, then we become inglorious. But just as the, yes, so the devotee becomes glorious also in relationship to the Lord. So Hanuman says, Om namo bhagavate uttama shlokaya nama arya lakshana shila vataya nama upashikshitatmanam upasita lokaya namaha sadhuvada nikashanaya namo brahmanya devaya mahapurushaya maharajaya namaniti. Let me please your lordship by chanting the bij mantra, the seed mantra, Omkar. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all the good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, you exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify all your qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmins who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Many points that can be made here. The Lord is also known, where Ramchandra is known, as Maryada Purushottam. Maryada means the proper way to act, the right etiquette, the right thing to do. And Lord Ramchandra shows perfectly by his example how an ideal human being should behave. In his dealings, for example, with his father, he was perfectly self-controlled and perfectly guided by principles of duty. Not by, I want this, I want that, not by anger, how dare you, but by duty, yes. My father has given an order, my duty is to obey. Throughout his pastimes, many more examples could be given, but he always acts not according to caprice, not according to whimsy, but according to duty. In the Bhagavad Gita, Tasma shastra pravahante karya karya vyavastita gyatva shastra vidhanottam karma kartam viharasi. The difference between the godly persons and the ungodly is that the godly persons always follow shastra. Shastra pramana, the evidence of shastra, is their guide. Karya akarya vyavastita. They know what's to be done, what is my duty, karya, and akarya, what is my duty not to do. Gyatva shastra vidhanottam karma kartam viharasi. Therefore, one should do one's prescribed duty, carry out one's duty, knowing what that duty is from shastra. Dharma nishaksha paro brinta. What the Lord speaks in shastra is actually the path of dharma. So the Lord perfectly shows that example to teach others how to behave. Yadyadatra tishreshtas tatta devyeta. Whatever the leading person does, others also do. In human society, the leading person is the king. There are other leaders also, the sage, the teacher, the mother, the father. Therefore, all of these persons have to know what to do, what not to do, how to behave as a dutiful human being. What is my duty? Not what do I like to do. What is my duty to do? That's the whole difference. The irresponsible, reckless civilization is based on what do I want to do? What do I feel like doing? What's going to make me happy? And in this way, by following those, that line, they make themselves unhappy. But by following duty, even if it sometimes seems unhappy, one attains the highest perfection. Lord Ramchandra is showing that example.
Yattad vishutanu bhava matrame kam sate dasa vasta guna vivastam pratyak prashantam prashantam shuriyo palampa janam rupam niraham prapatye. Hanuman says, the Lord, whose pure form, Satchidananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. And because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada comments, Krishna, who is Vishnu Tattva, has expanded himself in many Vishnu forms, of which Lord Ramchandra is one. We know that the Vishnu Tattva is carried by the transcendental bird, Garuda, and is equipped with different types of weapons in four hands. Therefore, we may doubt whether Lord Ramchandra could be in the same category, since he was carried by Hanuman, not by Garuda, and had neither four hands nor the Shankha Chakra, Vidha, and Padma. Consequently, this verse clarifies, that verse from the same time, that Ramchandra is as good as Krishna. Although Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra is not different from him. Ramachandra is unaffected by the modes of material nature, and therefore he is prashanta, never disturbed by those modes. Transcendental position of Lord Ramachandra. And Prabhupada further comments, read a little bit more. Unless one is saturated with love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot appreciate the transcendental value of Lord Ramachandra. One cannot see him with material eyes. Because demons like Ravana have no spiritual vision, they consider Lord Ramachandra an ordinary Kshatriya king. Ravana therefore attempted to kidnap Lord Ramachandra's eternal consort, Sita Devi. Actually, however, Ravana could not carry off Sita Devi in her original form. As soon as she was touched by Ravana's hands, she gave him a material form, but she maintained her original form beyond his vision. Therefore, in this verse, the words Pratya Prashantam indicate that Lord Ramachandra and his potency, the goddess Sita, keep themselves aloof from the influence of the material nature, material energy. You can't grab good fortune. Materialists are trying to become fortunate, to make a fortune, to become a purapati, to, in some way, make their lives fortunate. By grabbing the resources of the personality of God, they want to monopolize this product, this mineral, this gem, this crop, and make a killing, as they say. They want to become rich, they want to become famous, they want to become fortunate by business, by scholarship, by political power, by love, by one way or another, they want to make their lives fortunate. But fortune can't be grabbed for ourselves by such means. One becomes fortunate by serving the Lord, not by defying the Lord or trying to exploit the resources of the Lord. Ishavashamidam sarvam. Everything belongs to Krishna, to the personality of Godhead. Dena jatena punjita magrintakashana. We have the right to use the Lord's property in the Lord's service. But we don't have the right to claim the Lord's property as our own. That's Maya. This is the difference between Hanuman and Ravana. Ravana wants to grab the energy of the Lord and enjoy her for himself. And in that way, he ruined himself. And Hanuman wants to engage the energy of the Lord in the Lord's service. Or he wants to, see the Lord's energy engaged in the Lord's service. He has no interest in his own enjoyment. If Lord Ramachandra enjoys, that's all. So therefore, Hanuman is the most fortunate. He's the most fortunate because he's engaged in the service of the goddess of fortune along with her master, the personality of God. Martyavataras tri amarcha shikshana. Raksho vitanyaiva. raksho vidhayaiva, and kevalam vipo, putonyata sya yamatasva atmana, sita kritani vyasanani, vyasanani, nishan, vyasanani, shparasya, vyasanani, shparasya, sita kritani vyasanani, shparasya. It was ordained that Radha, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramchandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness, centered around sex life or centered around one's wife, is the cause of many miseries. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? Lord Nrsingadev appeared as anything but a man. Not a man, not an animal, not a demigod, not this, not that. To keep intact the blessings of Lord Brahma and still kill here under Kashipu. Here, because of a different fate, Ravana could only be killed by a human being, and therefore the Lord came as a human being to kill Ravana. And he showed, he gave many instructions by his example. When the Lord appears in this universe in the form of a human being, he has two purposes, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Paracharanaya Satunyam Vinashaya Chaduskritam, to destroy the demons and protect the devotees. To protect the devotees, the Lord not only satisfies them by his personal example, but also teaches them so that they will not fall down from devotional service. By his personal example, Lord Ramchandra taught the devotees that it is better not to enter married life, which is certainly followed by many tribulations. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, yam mayatuna ribrihame sukham itushcham kandu yanena karayori dukkatukham Tripyanti neha kripanam bahutu kapaja kandu divan manasijam dashahita tivaha. Kripanas, those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge and who are therefore just the opposite of Brahmanas, generally take to family life, which is a concession for sex. Thus they enjoy sex again and again, although that sex is followed by many tribulations. This is a warning to devotees. To teach this lesson to devotees and to human society in general, Lord Sri Ramchandra, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, underwent a series of tribulations because he accepted a wife, Mother Sita. Lord Ramchandra underwent these austerities, of course, only to instruct us. Actually, he never has any reason to lament for anything. The instruction here is that sex life means trouble. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Rajasastu palam dukha. From the mode of passion, what comes? Misery. Dukkha means misery. Radasastu palam, the fruit, the result of the mode of passion, is suffering. The materialist thinks, or in material consciousness, we think, that the result of passion is enjoyment.
passion for life. Follow your passion. He's passionate about his job. He's passionate about this, that, passionate about, and especially passionate about passion. And we generally think in material life that by passionate love affairs we'll enjoy, or even that by passionate affairs between husband and wife they'll be enjoyment. But vadasastu param dukha, passion results in misery. From the mode of goodness, peace, happiness, satisfaction comes. But from the mode of passion, suffering. Or there's some little appearance of enjoyment followed by suffering. Therefore, yan maitunadi grihameti sukham hituscha. Prahlada Maharaj says that the happiness of the materialistic householder is tuccha. Tuccha means paltry, very insignificant. Grihami, a person who simply makes the center of his life home. Grihameti, yes. Meti, one meaning of meti is in, you see in the fields there's an ox who's going around in a big circle, or a small circle really, and trampling the grain, threshing the grains. So that pole is called Meti. The ox is tied to that pole and he's going around it around. So the Grihameti, the person who makes home the center of everything, and everything revolves around that. And home doesn't mean the building. It means the life. There's a verse, Grihini Grihini Bhuchate. The home is not, the house is not a home. When the wife is there, then it's home. A householder wife. Householder wife doesn't mean that you own property. It means married wife. So Grihameti means the person who makes home, wife, and sense gratification the center of his life. Otherwise, Grihastha Ashram means he makes Krishna the center of his life. So Grihameti Sukham, the happiness of the Grihameti, is tuccha, very insignificant. Kandu yanena kariyori dukkha dukkha. It's like the happiness that you get by scratching an itch. My hands are itching, and so I scratch. And because I'm scratching, they itch more. And because they're itching more, I'm scratching more. And kanduyanena karayor, scratching the itch with my hands, iva dukkha dukkha, becomes more and more miserable. The itching increases, the scratching increases, the misery increases. Come do your name according to your evil dukkha to come. And tripyanti neya. One is never satisfied. Yes, now I've scratched, now I'm happy. Now I've had sex. Okay, everything is fine. Tripyanti na iha. One is never satisfied. I get sense gratification, then the result is I want more sense gratification. You put ghee on the fire doesn't say, "Wow, great, that was fantastic, now I'm satisfied." Yeah, that gets bigger, I want more. But tripyanti neha kripana, this miserly person who makes the body the center of life, and the satisfaction of the senses, the purpose of life. Tripyanti na iha kripana bahu dukkha, just increases his misery. Kandu divan manishijan, Shahetatid. Therefore, the sober person, Tira means sober, Tira Stathrimuyat, he should control his senses, avoiding unnecessary sense gratification. Kanduti Ban, he should tolerate the itching, not try to scratch it, satisfy the itch. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada comments, better to avoid married life. We see in the life of Lord Ramchandra so much trouble on this one account. Attachment to wife. He was cursed to go to the forest. Why? Why was he cursed to go to the forest? Kaikeyi, yeah. Because of his attachment to his wife. Kaikeyi. No Kaikeyi, no problem. Then Lord Ramchandra, when he went to the forest, then so much trouble again. Because of his wife. So much difficulty he had to undergo because the wife was there. Therefore, better to avoid householder life entirely. Save a lot of trouble. Save a lot of money. Otherwise, householder life is there in Krishna consciousness as a alright. Prabhupada said a concession that man is attracted to a woman, woman is attracted to a man. So then there's regulated householder life also. Householder life in which sense gratification is regulated so that spiritual advancement we can progressively move forward. Without regulation, then we become victimized by the illusory energies. And with regulation, we make progress. So Lord Ramchandra showed all the trouble involved in householder life. That was one of his purposes. Another aspect of the Lord's instructions is that one who accepts a wife must be a faithful husband and give her full protection. Human society is divided into two classes of men. Those who strictly follow the religious principles, and those who are devotees. By his personal example, Lord Ramchandra wanted to instruct both of them how to fully adopt the discipline of the religious system, and how to be a beloved and dutiful husband. Otherwise, he had no reason to undergo apparent tribulations. One who strictly follows religious principles must not neglect to provide facilities for the complete protection of his wife. There may be some suffering because of this, but one must nevertheless endure it. That is the duty of a faithful husband. By his personal example, Lord Ramchandra demonstrated this duty. Lord Ramchandra could have produced hundreds and thousands of sitas from his pleasure energy. But just to show the duty of a faithful husband, he not only rescued Sita from the hands of Radha, but also killed Radha and all the members of his family. So that's the second thing. First thing is to show that it's really a lot of trouble. But the second thing is that if I accept married life, then I have to accept the responsibility. Not irresponsible family life. I'll enjoy it for some time, and then when I don't like it, when the going gets rough or my sense gratification is not as expected, then I say, well, ta-ta. No. Karya. Married life means there are duties. Just as in brahmacharya life there are duties, in sannyas there are duties, in family life there are duties to be performed. And one has to perform one's duties. It may be pleasant, it may be unpleasant, but that one has to do. So both things are there, shown by Lord Ramachandra. From one angle, better to skip the whole thing. From another angle, all right, if I've accepted householder life, then I have to be very responsible, I have to take care of my wife, protect her, see to her. Real protection finally means protection from the illusory energy. That's the ultimate protection. It's not just physical protection, that she should have a roof over her head and the necessities and in South Africa, armed guards and security systems. But to be secure from the illusory energy of the material world. That means to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. The husband protects the wife from the attack of Maya by engaging her in the service of Krishna. And the wife also protects the husband from the attacks of Maya by arranging family life in such a way, home life in such a way, that everything is focused about the service of Krishna. Therefore, the Vaishnava householders worship the deity of the Lord. But the center of home life is not me. Not that I'm the Lord and Master. The Lord and Master is Krishna. Ekala Ishara Krishna Arsaprati. Krishna is the only Master, and everyone else is Krishna's servant. By acting in that mentality and performing the prescribed duties in that regard, the husband protects the wife from Maya, the Maya who wife also protects the husband from Maya. Another aspect of the teachings of Lord Ramachandra is that although Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotees may apparently suffer from material tribulations, they have nothing to do with such tribulations. They are mukta purushas, liberated persons, under all circumstances. It is therefore said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, yatadeka vaishnavair yavahartuk nishchayam jani hataha paramananda suk. A Vaishnava is always firmly situated in transcendental bliss because of engagement in devotional service. Although he may appear to suffer material pains, his position is called transcendental bliss in separation, viraha. The emotions a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ramchandra from Sita Devi, as well as the consequent tribulation they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. This is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This understanding also, the Ramayana appears to be a terrible tragedy. The Lord gets banished to the forest for 14 years, and his wife is kidnapped, and she gets tormented by Ravana and his assistants, and the Lord is in misery because his wife has been stolen and he can't find her. Then, and the citizens of Ayodhya are in misery because the Lord has been banished, and Dasara perishes. He's out of grief, and then his wives are in misery, and Bharat is also miserable, then finally the Lord returns from the forest, and then he has to banish Sita. So it appears to be tragedy practically from beginning to end. Why would anyone want to read such an unhappy story? But Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur instructs us that these apparently grief-laden pastimes of the Lord are actually manifestations of the Lord's pleasure potency. They're actually manifestations. There's a transcendental ecstasy in feelings of separation. Those loving feelings are more intense than the loving feelings felt when lover and beloved are together. So these apparently miserable instances are, from another point of view, manifestations of transcendental bliss. Sometimes maybe we have experience that we go through some hardship in life, either some voluntary austerity or some involuntary trouble, and we think, this is so terrible, this is so miserable, I don't know if I can take this anymore. But later when you look back at it, you say, that was one of the most blissful times in my whole life. Sometimes, for example, the soldiers, they're out on the battlefield, and it's, you know, hell. War is hell. But they look back on it and relish again and again how that we were surrounded by the enemy, how they were shooting us from every side, how we couldn't, we had nothing to eat, we had no place to stay. Maybe every time we moved our head up, they were shooting bullets at us. And they relish, actually, these activities, although there appear to be suffering. So, crude example. But in the past times we were around Jhanga, we find this, that these pastimes seem to be full of suffering, full of tragedy, but actually they're sources of transcendental bliss that the Lord is experiencing and that the devotee is also experiencing. Can we read a little bit more? Navai sa'atmatmavatam suhittavar saktastrilokyam bhagavan vasudeva nastri kritam kashmanam ashnavita nalakshmanam japi vihatam arvati. Since Lord Sri Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshmi, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. In defining the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we say that he is full in all six opulences: wealth, fame, strength, influence, beauty, and renunciation. He is called renounced because he's not attached to anything in the material world. He is specifically attached to the spiritual world and the living entities there. One time Srila Prabhupada asked him, how does Krishna show his opulence of detachment, of renunciation? And Prabhupada said, just see, He's given the whole world to the materialists. He's detached.
The affairs of the material world take place under the superintendence of Durga Devi. Trishti stati kalayasadhana shaktireka chayeva yasya bhumanani priparti durga. Everything is going on under the strict rules and regulations of the material energy represented by Durga. Therefore, the Lord is completely detached and need not give attention to the material world. Sita Devi belongs to the spiritual world. Similarly, Lord Lakshman, Ram Chandra's younger brother, is a manifestation of Sankarshan, and Lord Ramchandra himself is Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Lord is always spiritually qualified, he is attached to servants who always render transcendental loving service to him. He is attached to the truth of life, not to brahminical qualities. Indeed, he is never attached to any material qualities. Although he's the supersoul of all living entities, he is specifically manifest to those who are self-realized, and he is especially dear to the hearts of his transcendental devotees. Because Lord Ramchandra descended to teach human society how dutiful a king should be, he apparently gave up the company of Mother Sita and Lakshman. Factually, however, he could not have given them up. One should therefore learn about the activities of Lord Ramchandra from a self-realized soul. Then one can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. Superficially, it seems that the Lord gives up Sita Devi, gives up Lakshman, but they're eternally associated. The Lord and his energy are never separated, just as the sun and the sunshine are never separated. It never happens. They're always together. So the Lord and his internal potency and the Lord and his devotees are always together. But superficially it seems that they're separated. Or superficially it seems even that the Lord renounces his internal potency. It's not possible he never does that. But again, it's a drama performed by the Lord. And it's understood by the devotees. The devotees will understand. The devotees will understand. The Lord can only be understood by devotional service. Others may think that they understand, but they don't understand. Just as some people think, oh, Shiva is more important than Lord Ramchandra. He is supreme, and Lord Ramchandra is supreme, because Lord Ramchandra worshipped Lord Shiva. They don't understand. They don't understand Lord Ramchandra in his real position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is Bhaktavatsa. He's the devotee of his devotees. Lord Krishna, when Sudama Brahman came to the Dwarka to visit Lord Krishna, what did Krishna do? What did Krishna do? Worshipped him. He put Sudama Brahman on the throne. He washed his lotus feet. He offered words of praise. He was fanning the Rukmini is engaged in fanning this Sudama Brahman. So does it mean that Sudama Brahman is the supreme absolute truth? Does it mean he's the supreme Lord? Krishna can't be the supreme Lord. He's worshiping Sudama Brahman. Sudama Brahman must be the supreme Lord. No? Does anyone argue that way?
that Krishna is not Bhagavan, Sudama Vipra is Bhagavan? No one will say that. Well, when Lord Ramchandra worships Lord Shiva, then they'll say, oh, see, Shiva is Bhagavan. Ramchandra is subordinate. Because they don't know the science. They don't know the science of God. Therefore, they're misunderstanding. When the Lord worships the best of devotees, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, Lord Shiva is the best of devotees. So Lord Ramchandra is worshipping Lord Shiva also. But it doesn't mean now Lord Ramchandra has become subordinate, less important, less than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to understand the Lord from his pure devotee, not from others. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami quotes that Avaishnava Mukho Girnam Putam Harikatamritam Shravana Naiva Kartavyam Sarpoch Chishta Yatatayam. That one should not hear Harikata, Krishna Kata, Bhagavad Kata, from a person who's not a devotee of the Lord, of Vaishnava Mukha. One should not hear from the mouth of a non-devotee. There's so many professional reciters, there's people who, you know, this week it's Ram Kata, next week it's Shiv Kata, next week it's Durga Kata. Whatever the audience might be interested in, they're ready for, you know, like a shopkeeper who's got every item in stock. Well, one should not hear from such persons, from the professional reciters, from the mental speculators, from the non-devotees. Shravana naiva kartavya. One should not hear from them. Why? It's Harikatha. And he's speaking so nicely, and he looks so good, and his band is fantastic. Well, sarpoch chishta yatate. It's like milk touched by the lips of the servant. Someone says, but it's milk. Milk is pure. But after the serpent has been drinking it, you really don't want to drink that milk. Sarpoch chishta. Sark prasad. You don't want. So we should hear Harikata from Harimaka, from the devotee of the Lord. Then the benefit will be there. We'll become self-realized by hearing. We'll be able to understand the Lord, and we'll be able to advance in devotional service to the Lord ourselves. All right, we have a little more time to see if we have some questions. Yes?
As we're explaining, we also know the current issues among devotees or among the followers of Sanatana Dharma. They have the perception like compared to the Mahabharata and the Ramayana. Many people say that they're confused because it's always bringing like miseries, stories, like
people are confused because in Mahabharata, Ramayana, there's always
so much
killing and misery.
Hatred between cousins and,
yes, hatred. Like, and by hearing these things, we become peaceful.
It's true. Yeah, the question is people are so confused that it's very difficult sometimes to take them out from that, setting of the mind.
Yeah, therefore then we have to give them the right understanding. They're confused because they're just picking up a book, or usually not a book, they're just watching a television show, or they're hearing something from some professional reciter, and they don't understand. All they hear about is war and killing, and they don't understand. For example, nobody's killed. On the Battle of Kurukshetra, how many men were killed?
None.
A lot of bodies were changed.
Yeah.
But no one was killed. And even that change of body taking place in the presence of the Lord meant changing for either going to the heavenly planets or being liberated from material existence. So where's the misfortune there? One has to understand everything through the Parampara system, not otherwise. Therefore, we're publishing so many books. By reading Srila Prabhupada's books, people will get the proper understanding. People will get the proper understanding. By reading mundane, they're reading about war anyway, only the Middle East war or some other war. And they're not getting any spiritual benefit. They're reading novels and fiction or business books or this or that or the news, but there's no benefit to them. But by reading these books, by reading the science of Krishna, even if they read one page, their whole life can change. So that's the potency of Harikatha, Krishna Katha, when heard from a pure devotee. So, yes. Oh, there are so many different opinions. Some will say that Narayan, generally they'll say that Narayan is the Supreme Personality of God. And they'll say that Narayan appears as Ram, as Krishna, so on. They usually won't say that Ram is the source. The South Indians, there are many, many temples of Lord Ramchandra throughout South Africa, South India. But they usually won't say that no, Ram is the original. They'll say Narayan, and he comes as Ram. We're worshiping him. Similarly, they'll worship Krishna, but they'll say that Narayan is the original. So that we were reading this morning, wasn't it? From Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he elaborately discusses on the basis of Shastra, Krishna Stu Bhagavan's family. That although there are so many different incarnations of Vishnu, so many appearances, and it seems as if Krishna is one of those incarnations. Krishnastu, he uses this word, but ete cham sakala pumsa, all of these incarnations are either partial manifestation of Godhead or part of a partial manifestation too, but Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, he's Bhagavan himself. He is the original. Krishna Swayam Samabhava Paramahamsa. So, in this way, we have to understand. Elsewhere, Kaviraj Goswami says, take it how you like. Some say Ram is supreme, some say Krishna. Anyway, why should we argue over this? Sometimes he'll say that way. Because you can call the absolute, he's Advaita, he's one. So some will call him Ram, someone will call him Krishna, someone will call him Narayan. Anyway, it's the same person appearing under different names and different forms, different qualities. Among the Vishnu Tattvas, it's really the same person. Krishna's appearing as Ram, Krishna's appearing as Narayan, Krishna's appearing. In one portion of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, all right, take it either way. But in other portions, once we dig into the tattva, once we dig into the science, you know, then we'll come to this conclusion that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan.
Mahaprabhu is closer to
is closer to Krishna than Ram. Like one thing is, does Mahaprabhu have a position that's higher than Ram, just for Gaudiyas or absolutely?
Absolutely. Gaudiyas are not sentimentalists. That I'm not saying, well, for us, it's like this. They're understanding who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Adini Shakti. He's Krishna along, he's Krishna in the mood of Krishna's devotee. He's Krishna in the mood of Krishna's devotee. And within this form, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the other forms are included, just as within Krishna, all the other forms are included. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disclosed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya this Sadbhujmurti. Sadbhujmurti means he showed that two arms like a sannyasi with a staff and a kamandalu, a water pot, and two hands with bow and arrow, means Lord Ramchandra, and two hands with the flute. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different.
So, like Varad, all the expansions, all the
incarnations are not there. It's not. Amshakala. All the other incarnations are part or a part of a part. But Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Swayam Krishna. He is Krishna himself. Where? Who's asking?
Is that marriage a sacrifice?
In the?
Marriage.
Marriage,
is not,
yes.
Is it not a sacrifice?
It's definitely a sacrifice. Marriage is a sacrifice. You have to sacrifice a lot to get married. yes. Vivaha Yajna. It's a sacrifice. It's dedicated to the Lord. It's a sacrifice. From one point of view, you sacrifice a lot of freedom when you get married. You sacrifice, now you have to work very hard. You have to maintain family and home. It's always a sacrifice. Some reward is there. Some family comfort. But for the sake of that reward, there's a lot of sacrifice. When we perform a yajna, then we have to offer so much grain, so much ghee. Gold should be there, charity distributed to the Brahmins. So it's a sacrifice. That sacrifice should be meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Otherwise, karma bandhana, one becomes entangled. Lokoyam karma bandhana. So the marriage sacrifice or any sacrifice should be performed only for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Then one will get freed from all material entanglement by performing that sacrifice. That marriage is also only for some time. There are four ashrams: Brahmachari ashram, Grihastha ashram, then Vanaprastha ashram. After spending so many years in householder life, one should retire. Can we move this down a little bit? It should. Panchashortam vanam braje. After the age of 50, one is advised to retire from family life. Vanam braje, and go to the forest. Just as we see Prithu Maharaj and his wife Archie went to the forest, did tapasya. Now, in this age, who's going to go to the forest? Now, if we say, now you've been working and you're this multinational company for 20 years, now it's time for you to go live in the forest and eat roots and berries and perform the blessings. But no one is going to do that. but the Vrindavan forest is available. One can go to Vrindavan and live at the under the shelter of Krishna Balaram, be exclusively engaged in devotional service, and become detached from this material world. Not to stay at home with family and social life, or retire and go play on the golf course, or spend one's days fishing, or sitting home reading the newspapers. The Vanabrajay, one should leave householder life and become detached. Vanaprastha life, no sex life, and winding down family attachment. As young men, we wind up family attachment. We get married, we have children, we build up our business or our career, we expand our home, maybe move from an apartment to a house, from a house to a bigger house, we make home improvements, we get a car, we get a this, get that, and we see to the education of our children and so on and so on. So we really kind of ratchet things up, we build things up. But that can't go on forever. Nor can we say, okay, I've gone high enough, and now I'm going to stay here. I've reached a certain plateau, I'm not greedy, I'll just stay here and be satisfied. That also is not possible, because Maya is going to come and kick us out. So the real way it goes is up and then down. And the body goes that way. It starts as a little child's body, then it grows, and then you become a strong young man. And then after some time, it goes down. Yeah, you're smiling, he's on his way up. But after some time, it goes down. The liver doesn't work so well anymore, the ears don't hear quite the same way. Visiting the optometrist to see what kind of change there's been in my vision, whether cataracts are there. Teeth are not quite. The skin is losing it. Everything starts to, the hair is either starts to fall out or turn gray, and or both. And the body is dwindling. Birth, growth, staying for some time, having some byproducts, then the next stage is dwindling. That's how it is with all the bodies. And then the next stage is death. Time's up. So before that stage comes, and one is just thrown out, one is advised that one should relieve oneself from the attachments of family life. One should relieve oneself. Not that marriage means now for the rest of my life I go on in this way, but for some time, say 25 years if a man is married at 25, then by 50 he's out. For some time, vanaprastha life means now I built up so much, now I hand that over, responsibilities go to the next generation, assets go to the next generation, or they go to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Divided, Rupa Goswami set the example, so much for the family members, everything else for the service of the world. And one withdraws from material attachment. One develops detachment from material existence and attachment to Krishna. Then the last stage is their sannyas. Sannyas, completely giving up. That sequence is there. Any other questions?
Maharaj, powerful words of instruction to all of us, especially regarding the different varnas and ashrams, mostly on the Riyastha and Varapastha ashram, touching other aspect of other ashram also. So we learned quite a lot, very practical, living example you given to us. We pray we get your mercy as much as possible. We will be staying for a few days, but we pray we'll get your association in preparation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm just trying to repeat what I've heard from Srila Prabhupada, so whatever credit is there, that's all his credit. And I think we have 3 more days. We'll continue this Ram Katha, and I'll get the opportunity for your company. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Lord Ramchandra ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.